Good morning. Good morning, church. It's good to be here at MCC. I think it's my first time with you. If I'm right, according to our records at EMM, the last time we were here, somebody from EMM was here, was in 2015, about 10 years ago. Which is probably something that we need to change, right? We need to find a way to be closer in our relationship. We have been close in this relationship for many, many years. And the first thing I want to say to all of you, church, is thank you for your support. You have supported EMM for many, many, many years. Many of our workers. I was checking on some of the resources you have in the background, in the lobby, and I see you are still supporting Jonathan Borman. And also Alan and his wife, Carol, Alan and Carol Wirt, who are still in Wales. So also, you have supported Joe Hollinger and his wife, Cheryl, many, many years ago. He spent 11 years in Wales working in that community. So thank you very much for all your support. God bless you all. My name again is Marvin Lorenzana. I'm president for Eastern Maryland Missions. This is my almost 5 years already. In February will be 5 years since I came along on board with EMM. And it's been an amazing journey. I've learned a lot about what God is doing in the world, particularly with historical national churches that exist today because EMM decided to send missionaries back years back. For instance, myself, I'm the result of somebody saying yes to EMM, a couple that went to Honduras in 1973 to teach people how to read and write. These particular couple, they were not church planters, they were not launching a movement, they were just teaching people how to read and write. That was their mission. This is the reason they went down to Honduras back in the 70s. However, the Lord spoke to their hearts as they were teaching people how to literacy. Some of these young people that they were connecting with had all kinds of questions about God, about eternity, about their purpose in life, etc., 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 about the Bible, about Jesus. And they began discipling them at a point where they were kind of overwhelmed with all these young people coming to them with all these questions. And then they called back to EMM and said, "Hey, EMM, we have a problem. We have a situation. We have a thing going on here. But we are not church planters. We're not here to launch anything. What do we do with all these young people? You need to send somebody. You need to send a pastor. You need to send a church planter or somebody that knows how to work with these young people." And then the then president of EMM, at that moment in time, he said, "Well, don't worry about it. We will pray. We will come together and we will have an answer for you very soon." And that's exactly what happened. They called back to this brother. His name was Ed King. His wife's name was Gloria, Ed and Gloria King, from West Liberty, Ohio. And they said to Ed, "We have two news for you. One is really, really good. The other one, we don't know. It depends how you take it, right? The first one is, yes, EMM is doing something about this situation that is happening in Honduras. The second answer, though, the second news is, we think it's you and Gloria. We think it's you and Gloria who need to really take care, do pastoral work, do disciple making in that country, in that beautiful country. So you need to do that." And that's how, brothers and sisters, I became a believer. Because Ed King said, "Yes, okay, we're not here for this purpose, yet we're going to do this. in the name of Jesus, and they did it. And before they knew it, this was a movement amongst young people that began to grow and grow and grow. It grew and grew and grew. And then the parents came on board because some of these young people's life were incredibly impacted by the ministry of Ed and Gloria, including myself. I was 10 years old when my 13-year-old brother came to my house one night and said to me the following words: "Marvin, you need to repent and believe that Jesus is Lord." And I was brought up Roman Catholic, so I said, "Well, you're talking about this Jesus, the one in the cross," because we had this crucifix right in my house. She says, "Yes, it's the same, but no, it's not the same. This is a Jesus that actually cares for you. This is a Jesus, according to this missionary that came from who knows where, because he had been listening to Ed King that very night. And he heard these words from Ed King: "You who are here tonight, if you don't know the Lord, you need to repent and believe that he is Lord." "And I did," he said. "And now you need to do the same." So he was making disciples right away, the same night. And I asked him, "Well, what does that mean, Alan?" His name is Alan. "What does that mean? I don't know what that means." And he says, "I don't know what that means either. I just learned about it tonight. But I think it's great. I think it's great, and I think you should do it too." So the next week, he took me to this place, this rundown patio for this public school right in the heart of Tegucigalpa, the capital city of Honduras. In that place, I met around 300, maybe 350 young people, everybody sitting on the ground. We had no benches, no place to sit, just the ground. And everybody's sitting on the ground. About eight young guys are playing guitar and leading in worship and song. And at some point in time, Ed King stood up behind a pulpit and he began talking about Jesus in a way that I never ever in my life, 10 years old, never heard before. This was alive. He was alive. He was with you. You can talk to him. You can pray to him. He cares for you, he said. He loves you deeply and he has a purpose for your life. And then you need to repent and believe that he is the Lord. I heard it again, right? But this time it made more sense. Oh, what does that mean for me? And he said, "Anybody in this place," there's a lot of people there, young people mostly, "anybody in this place needs to respond to this invitation tonight. Come forward because I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you to the Father." And I stood up and I went forward and I prayed. 46 years after that night, approximately, I got an invitation through an email to apply for the role of president of Eastern Mennonite Missions, the organization that sent the missionary who led me to the Lord to begin with. That was for me like, actually, I didn't remember what Eastern Mennonite Missions was at that point. What is EMM again? And then it came back to me, oh, is this organization that back in the 70s sent Ed King to Honduras to share with me the good news? Wow. And then I went to my wife and I said to my wife, Mariana, by the way, Mariana is here with me, as you heard before. And I said to Mariana, my wife, "You know what? Guess what? They're inviting me to apply to this role for leading Eastern Mennonite Missions." And she said, "Why don't you apply to that?" I said, "Really?" I was surprised because two times before I had kind of come with some news, similar news to her, right? Somebody's inviting me to lead something somewhere else. We used to live in Harrisonburg, Virginia, back in those days. And that never happened. My family was not ready or willing to move at that point. But she said to me, "Go ahead and apply. How about that?" And so I went and I did that. I did exactly that. So, Eastern Mennonite Missions. is the organization that, not moving. You need to click one. Yeah, click that one. Now it's working. Thank you, sir, brother. Let's talk about EMM a little bit. We just moved to Lancaster, Pennsylvania, after many, many years in Salonga. We are at 450 North Prince Street, right there, North Lancaster City. And this is how our building looks like. Any of you have been to our building already? Some of you have. Yes, yes. Excellent. Well, this is our place, our building. It's called 450, or Hub 450, we call it. And yes, we have ministries, a number of ministries going on here, like Neighbor Community Center, which is the first floor in our building. Is a community center where we engage with immigrants and refugees that are here in the city of Lancaster. And then Neighbor's Cafe is simply a place to hang out, to I see people doing discipleship in the mornings every day, or reading scriptures together in that place. Very nice place to spend time alone also, or reading or studying. And then, of course, EMM and LMC were both sharing in the second floor. This is, again, Neighbors Community Center, a number of ministries happening there, English classes, Women's Global Village, core tutoring, and other things that we do. We also rent some of the spaces that we have there for events, community events of different types. And then, of course, this is an aerial picture of our building. We're soaking up the sun, it says. We have 150 solar modules on top of our roof at Eastern Mennonite Mission, generating 73,800 kilowatts hours of energy a year. So pretty much half of our energy we get from the sun in that building. So we're very excited about that. And this is our leadership team. You already met Joe Hollinger right here. He's our vice president, COO. And then Becky Hess, Steve Martin, Lori Bench, myself, and of course, somebody that you need to know about is Joe Garber. He's what we call our church partnerships coach. He might be following up with this conversation here with you, Pastor, at some point. So this is a little bit about EMM. I want to do this interactive. I want to involve you in this conversation. So let's do this together. God's heart for the nations. God's heart for the nations. What do you think is the primary thing that breaks the heart of the Father, of our Father in heaven? And I'm very, very excited and very glad for the music today. The worship was so on target with what we were trying to communicate today. And it's about this. It's about God's heart for the nations. What would you say? We're going to come back to this question in a little bit. So what I want to do with you today is, in scriptures, we find this double blessing, right? Or two tiers of blessing. I will bless you, the Lord said to Abraham. That's A right there. And B, so that you are a blessing to others. Okay? So it's two tiers of this blessing. It's not just us being the recipients of that blessing. It's actually we receive anything from the Lord so that we can give it back to others. Amen? Is that what we do? Okay. So I'm going to do A and you're going to do B in the following verses of scriptures. Okay. For example, we're not going to read the scripture. We're just going to read the text. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. So when you see the emphasis there in red and underlined with a marker there. So we do it a little harder, right? We raise our voices a little bit. You will be a blessing. Then you say, you will be a blessing and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Okay. So I do part A and you will do part B. Are you ready? Okay. Let's do this. My turn. I might show you my power and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. It's your turn. All the peoples of the earth know that the hands of the Lord. Excellent. Let's continue. The whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. Your turn. Fear you. Pay attention to what these scriptures are saying to all of us. Okay, I continue. Ask me and I will make the nations your inheritance. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us. Among all nations, I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation, perfect, the land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still, all the ends of the earth. We fear him. We have a few more. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. All you families of nations. So the idea is, I'll make you a light to the Gentiles. My name will be great among the nations. Let's say this together. My name will be great among the nations, from where the sun rises to where it sets. Now, let's hear now in the New Testament. How about Mark? My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. Together. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. So what's primary on the Father's heart? And we could have gone on and on and on. The whole scripture is full of this double tire, right? These two tires. I bless you so that you are, so that you become a blessing to others. It's never been about just us. It's always about God's work among the nations. And so, what is primary on his heart? His heart is for all the nations. Would you say amen to that? It's for all nations, all tongues, and all tribes to worship God. So, I want us to see, I watched a video. This is a brief video that gives us an idea for what the situation is today in relation to the least rich people groups in the world. We have more than 7,000 groups in the world that have not been rich yet. I mean, less than 2% of the whole population would be evangelical believers or people who would recognize Jesus as Lord. Okay? Less than 2%. That qualifies them as unreached or least rich people groups. 7,000 plus. So let's watch the video. If we can dim these lights a little bit, it will be helpful for these lights for the video to watch. Okay.
In the beginning, God created everything. He created a world full of people to know him and to be known by him. This is the story of the Bible, God bringing people to himself. And when we read the Bible, we see how God went to great lengths to do this and how much God cares about people knowing him. You most likely already know this. And you probably live somewhere where people have a general understanding of this great love story between God and humanity. And if they don't know yet, there's probably somebody in town who can tell them. But did you also know that there are 3 billion people who will live and die without ever hearing this story? Not because they don't care, but because they don't have a choice. Nobody ever told them that once upon a time, God became a human just like them, so that he could teach them how to know their creator. 40% of the world doesn't know this, and they won't know this. Not unless something changes. Not unless someone goes to tell them. Jesus is our wonderful example. He left his natural home to come to us. And then he tells us to do the same thing. Because we love Jesus and care about the same things that he cares about, we care about this. That the whole world would know him. That every tongue, tribe, and people group would come and be able to worship him. So the question is, are we doing this? Going out into the world to bring the gospel to every tongue, tribe, and nation? Well, kind of. While churches do send people out, almost half the world still doesn't have any access to the gospel. But how is this possible? Aren't there people being sent? Well, yeah. There are about 400,000 people serving across the world today. But only 3% of them are actually going to the 40% who have never heard about Jesus. The other 97%, they're going to places that have already heard about Jesus. There's an imbalance. That imbalance leaves only one person for each 250,000 people who have never heard about Jesus. Put another way, we have a Spirit-led calling to rethink our focus. When you look at how we use our resources, such as money, the picture doesn't look that much better. To be specific, Christians around the world are giving about 2% of their income to Christian causes. And less than 7% of that is going to cross-cultural workers. And of that cross-cultural giving, only 1/100th of that 0.1% is actually going to those working with the 3 billion people who don't know Jesus, have no church or any Christian neighbors. The other 99% of all cross-cultural giving goes to the rest of the world that already has Christians, Bibles, and churches. Are you seeing the imbalance? Only 3% of our workers with only 1% of our cross-cultural finances are going to the 3 billion people who have never heard about Jesus. So we have to ask ourselves, are we okay with this? We want those 3 billion people to hear about the kingdom of God and how much God loves them. There are 17,000 ethno-linguistic groups in the world. People who share language, culture, and common history. 7,000 of them are considered unreached people groups. These are entire cultures who have never heard the amazing story of how Jesus loves them and came to save them. God has called us to pay attention to this, to love and care for the same things that he does. He put this desire on our heart, to see the unreached reached with the amazing story of the love of God. We want to see lasting local church planting movements begin among these people groups that brings renewal and transformation among these cultures and societies. Why? Because God has moved our hearts to see the gospel transform whole societies among the unreached. We know this task is bigger than us. Many of the areas that are in need of the gospel are difficult and resistant places. It isn't something that can be accomplished overnight, but by the power of the Spirit, we endeavor to preach the gospel where Christ is not known, so that God can be worshiped by all peoples.
So this is the reason why something like EMM exists, even today in the 21st century. Because after 2,000 plus years of gospel, of church, of believers going around the world sharing the good news, we still have about 3 billion people who still have not heard. Only 3% of our workers are going to this, what we call the 1040 window. We're gonna see that in just a second. The 1040 window is that space in the world where most of these people live. About 40 to 42% of the world's population. So are we okay with that? At EMN, we don't feel good about that. We think that something needs to be done, and this is why we reach out to churches and leaders, even business leaders. Nowadays, we just had a business leaders breakfast. By the way, if you have not participated in our business leaders breakfast, you're welcome to come. We do it twice a year. We just had our most recent one about a week ago. So yeah, all of us together can do this. I want to share a little bit about the mission, the vision of EMM, and then end our time with this. We call it our kingdom multiplication in five regions vision. Our mission statement says, can we read this one together, please? Christ transforming love compels us to cross cultures, engage the world, and multiply disciples of Jesus. And we have been doing exactly that since 1934, when we went to Tanzania, or Tanganyika, but back in the day, it's called now Tanzania. We went there, and we have seen a church multiply and disciples of Jesus making more disciples of Jesus in that part of the world. I just came back from Ethiopia about 2 weeks ago. In Ethiopia, we have the largest Anabaptist body in the whole world. Also, EMN missionaries went to Ethiopia in 1947, 48. And today, they have about 1.2 million disciples of Jesus that are gathering in their so many, I don't know, 6,000 congregations. It's amazing what God is doing there. However, in a country with 135 million people, they know that they still have a lot of work to do in that part of the world. They're not excited and happy, or they don't feel that they have arrived. They feel that they need to push on, push forward, right? Because God is also calling them, as He's calling all of us. To do this, we catalyze movements that multiply disciples of Jesus. That's what we do at EMM. We catalyze movements that multiply disciples of Jesus around the world, giving primary focus to people groups that are currently least reached. These groups in the world, the 7,000 plus that I mentioned before, they are unreached because of very important reasons. First of all, they don't have disciples of Jesus next to them that would share the gospel with them. Then they don't have, of course, communities of faith like these ones, right? They don't have a place where they can worship Jesus or the Lord. They don't have a facility where they can come and worship like we did today, this morning. And also, they don't have the Bible available in their mother tongue. So all these things mean that some of these people will be born, live their lives, 30, 60, 90 years, die, without ever hearing the name of Jesus. So they have no choice, as we heard in the video, simply put. So this is what we call the 111 years of mission history for EMM. The orange spots that you see there are current or historic presence of EMM around the world. We've been to more than 100 plus countries. Where we have seen multiplication movements is these red spots. Actually, you can get this information right on our table. Joe Hollinger has a table beautifully set in the back, so you can get some of this information too if you're interested. So multiplication movements, these red spots, and these circles are our strategic priority regions in the world today. West Africa, Central East Europe, Central Asia, and Southeast Asia, and of course Lancaster, Pennsylvania. As I said before, we're working very intentionally in reaching out to our refugees and immigrants who are in this community, part of our community. So 100 plus countries served, more than 7,000 missionaries and or volunteers sent as workers, currently serving about 25 countries, some 82 missionaries and their families. And we have seen Jesus movements in these parts of the world, Tanzania, Ethiopia, Kenya, Honduras, Vietnam, Belize, the USA, Guatemala, Peru, the Philippines, Thailand, and other parts of the world. God has been good to EMM. God has responded to our desire to go to the world. But we know that the work has just begun. The work of reaching out has just begun. And we are asking all of you to continue your support for what we're trying to accomplish together. Once again, this is the world. This is the 1040 window, my brothers and sisters. About 7,500 least rich people groups. About 3.5, maybe 3.2 to 3.5 billion people represented there. All those red dots represent a least rich people group in the world today. Who is going to go? Who's going to share with them? Who's going to translate the Bible? Who's going to support those who are going? Right? This only means that I'm very close to finishing. So don't get up yet. So about 40 to 43% of the whole world population is here. Basically, one out of three people in the world is considered least reached today. One out of three. Can we stand up for just a second and we pray? Can we pray together for what we are seeing here right now? If you care for what Jesus cares, the guy in the video said, if you care for what the things that he cares for, then we should care for this. This is the reason we go to work at EMM every week. This is what gets us off the bed, right? And we go to work together. We have about 28 people, 29 people working together, plus our missionaries in the world, plus our global partners around the world, right? That we're working together trying to address this issue. I want to lead us in a prayer. I want us to pray for this person right here. One out of three people in the world don't have access to the Bible, don't have disciples of Jesus around, do not have a place where they can worship. It's not that they don't want to believe in Jesus. It's that they don't have access. They don't have access to believing, right? Because there's nobody there to tell them. In the name of Jesus, we pray together, Lord. Here with MCC brothers and sisters, we pray, Lord, that you will send more workers to the harvest fields in the world, to places like West Africa, Lord, Guinea and Guinea-Bissau, Mauritania, Morocco, Father Chad, Sudan, Ethiopia. Father, that you will send more workers to Central Europe, to East Germany, to Czech Republic, to Albania. That you will send more workers, Lord, to Central Asia, Turkmenistan, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Kyrgyzstan. Send more workers, Jesus, we pray. You are the owner of the harvest fields. Raise up your church everywhere, Lord Jesus, and send your people. Send your people. Father, not everybody will be able to go, Lord. We know that. But all of us can do this together if we support those who are willing to go. Those who are not just willing but available to go in the name of Jesus. Also, we pray for Southeast Asia. We're going to see more Jesus disciples in Vietnam, in Thailand, Northeast Thailand, where we're working with the Isan people. About 20 million of Isan, Northeast Thailand, Lord, the Isan people. Where this band of disciples of Jesus, about 300 of them, are hoping and dreaming to reach out every village around them and plant a new Jesus congregation there. Father, help us. Help all of us here at LMC, here in Lancaster, here in the U.S., and other parts of the world where the church is present and alive and well and thriving, Lord, that we can send more workers to the harvest fields, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we pray for that person that is within that spot, that red spot in this map. These 3.5, 3.2 billion, Lord, people in the world. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. So again, this is where EMM is sending workers. This is our priority regions in the world. Again, you can get that information back in our table, and Joe Hollinger will be more than happy to give you everything you need for that. So basically, this is the idea. The reason we exist as EMM, just to end my presentation today, is because Revelation 7:9, this vision the writer of the Revelation book had. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count from, say with me, every nation, tribe, people, and language. Nation, tribe, people, and language. MCC, adopt one of those least rich countries in the world. Adopt one of those regions in the world. That's a challenge for you today. What if you adopt West Africa? What if you adopt Southeast Asia as a focus for your cross-cultural missions work, for instance? So standing before the throne and before the Lamb, they were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. One tool that we're using, that we have been using lately, is this Kairos course. You can go back and get more. You can get this one, this information there. The Kairos course, it's simply, let me put it this way. It's a biblical, historical, strategic, and cultural perspective for what's happening in the world today, for what the mission of God is about in the world today. So it's coming up. We do it twice a year, and this one is coming up October 18th through November 17th. More and more churches and leaders are participating and learning with this tool. What would it take for us to become a church that is on mission, both locally, but also around the world, where that need that we just saw is? So everybody is invited to participate. It has a cost of an investment of $125, and it's happening very, very, very soon. So thank you for your time today. Thank you, Pastor, for the invitation. Thank you, church, for inviting us to share with you. Hopefully somebody from EMM will be here, not in 10 years down the road, but sooner than that, just to give you an update for how is it that we are accomplishing that mission, that vision of catalyzing Jesus movements around the world. Thank you for your time. God bless you all.